Blog Talk Radio.
We belong together, and you know that I'm right. Why do you play with my heart? Why do you play with my mind? Said we'd be forever. Said it never
died. I did some charity today for the kids. But it wasn't charity, I saw it with clarity. The severity of the matter is I'm in a game of your sports analyst. Blowing smoke up your tails and calling it cannabis. Wanna talk about a ghostwriter? When a ghost write up, I'ma have all heads flaming like ghostwriter. I talk about the money cause I made it. Can't play with me, my character locked, I'm shaded. When you're invisible, it's kinda difficult to hit my radar. You should call me Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The way I tower over these boys, I got them hooked. When I'm mob deep, they shook. Shows they never booked, but they steady reading into the media. Throwing idle threats, empty as they Wikipedia. Sometimes I gotta laugh at these jokers. You killing me, need to quit cigarette smokers.
What's going on, Big Rick?
Hey, little man, Drake,
Little Drake to start off the show.
Nah, yeah, definitely. it's Wednesday, hump day. It's definitely, you see the springs in the air, the leaves back on the trees, the flowers is blossoming, everything's just sprouting out, so. No, it feels good. What's going
right,
on?
Right. Man, feels like summer. it definitely feels like summer, man. Some hot days. I don't even know what to expect. Here, shoot, if it's like this now, I'm like, dang, July, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. But, it's a good thing going on. Sun is shining, no rain. I'll take that all day,
Yeah, definitely.
And I'd rather the heat than the cold, so.
Not too hot.
Yeah, not too hot. But, I still deal with it.
Nah, but definitely we got list of things. You have the NBA playoffs. That's definitely going on. You have the draft tomorrow, the NFL draft. And, like I said, we already evolved, this nonsense. I sent you the articles yesterday, but we all know, this week, I guess the judges basically said Roger Goodell can do whatever he please, really. And it's just and it's something that people probably forgot about. They didn't think they thought it was just over. And it's just after 15 months, we still here over here talking about this, the Deflategate issue.
It's not Deflategate. It's a testosterone issue at this point.
Yeah.
You kind of knew it was going to go that way because, and this is what they were. When they approached the situation the second time, it wasn't about – the first time they made the mistake because they were trying to prove if he had anything to do with it or not. And basically, Roger Goodell doesn't have to do all of that. He has the power to do whatever he wants to do regardless of what evidence is turned in or not. Mm-hmm. The reason why he wants the evidence is to just basically justify the reason why he did what he did. But mm-hmm. Who doesn't need a reason? The collective bargaining agreement is just it's a bunch of mumble-jumble. And real quick, maybe the next day, it could have been the next day after you gave me that, on Mike and Mike in the morning, they talked about, some people openly talked about it, but wanted their name to stay anonymous because they didn't want to have to deal with the league coming down.
That's the fundamental issue that I have. And people keep saying, oh, well, the players signed up for it. They didn't sign up for him to be unreasonable.
Right.
They didn't sign up for him to say he's going to sway his junk
yeah.
every way, which way you're going to do it, and you can take it. You know what?
Right.
I have to take a crap in your face, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's what basically he's doing. Like,
yeah.
they didn't think that when they said, okay, yeah, he has this, they didn't think that he can, without evidence. I don't want to dive into it, but the only thing that I have to ask anybody, let alone, let's look at this. Forget a deflated text that was in May of 2014, and them talking, and the text messages between the two people, and whatever case is, just
mm-hmm.
point me to where the evidence is at.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps saying he's guilty, something happened, but point to me where the evidence is. Where do you see Tom Brady talking to them, telling them, do this? And where do you see in their text messages that they said, Tom told us to do it?
Right.
The NFL, like I said, first, like we said before, the NFL, and the articles I showed you, a lot of people hated the Patriots. They didn't like the Patriots, and it's winning. And that's what happens. Frizz, you know how it is. People hated the Cowboys in the 90s. It's
right.
winning. So what happens with win? Win brings haters. And that's all what happened. And these guys did nothing. They didn't want to do nothing but just hate. And now they're sitting back a year later. And they're just like, whoa. And they're looking at the levy of the penalties, and they're just like, wait a second. A first-round pick, a fourth-round pick, $1 million, and the quarterback is spending for the first four games. For what?
Right.
For what?
Right. And they're like, wait. I know, and the thing about it is, like, I think they start to look at it like, well, we know what we do. If he's handing out that for that, what would he give us for what we do?
And then it's like, okay, then they're looking at it. And then, yo, this is not, you know, I'm not going to think, but this is not Ray Rice. This is not, like, you think this is kind of happening. You're talking about the face of the NFL. You're talking about the person who had led the league in jersey sales this last year. So you're talking about someone who's the face of the NFL that they just want to, you know, brash and he want to tarnish and everything. So you look at it, and that's the thing, for them. That's why you got these dudes looking. I mean, the Chiefs got, like, they got a third-round pick taken away from them, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Right.
There's nothing they can do about it. There's no precedent. There's no precedent for it. It's not saying, if you do such and such, it's such and such. And, like, in the article I showed you, Frizz, it's saying, like, the 49ers tampering. They got a fifth-round pick taken away from them. The Jets, tampering. They got $100,000 taken away from them. And it's just like, what is it? What are you
judging? What's the guideline? Right,
yeah,
right.
What are you, yeah, exactly. For this, it's like, however I'm feeling that day, that's what it's going to do.
Exactly. And that's what we talked about months ago and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what needs to go on. It's like, okay, you need to set up some kind of criteria for your laws. Like, you know, attempted murder,
mm-hmm.
you get, it can come with, you know, if you're guilty, you know, it can carry 6 to 12 years. You know
mm-hmm.
the penalty for the crime.
Exactly.
You just, you know, you wake up in the morning, wife didn't give you none, so you just want to levy any kind of penalty you want to levy on because you're in your feelings.
Yeah, and that now is like, and all the teams that, I mean, all the teams and officials and whoever was, you know, fist pumping, they know now, they're just like, wait a second. Damn, what's going to happen if it happens to us? And
anything.
Now the Chiefs are sitting back and it's like, damn. Like, I don't want them to feel bad for the Patriots because, you know, they're competitive, but they got to look at it as the biggest quarter, you know, bigger than that, and look at it and be like, damn. Well,
no.
Even
more, it's like, I won. Y'all see the power I have. I can levy any kind of thing I want to do, period. And y'all really can't do nothing about it. You will lose in the end. And that's what it determines.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if we have to, you know, get into a lockout, I just hope that there's something that the players can do to make them miss some football games.
But you got to understand that you got some players that, especially in college, it's almost like, do you ever watch that show? It's a baseball show. It's called The Replacement. I think Keanu Reeves is in it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be some people, because you're dealing with billionaires that has other businesses that they can, you know, they can pull income from, compared to some millionaires, compared to thousandaires. And they're going to want to play. That's their money.
No, and I understand it, but it's not going to be your product. I mean, I'm pretty sure Robert Kraft ain't going to want to roll out a Patriots team that doesn't have a Tom Brady. You know, Jerry Jones is not going to roll out, you know, Cowboys, this, whatever it is. Minor league team, I think that they need to, and that's what's going to hurt the owner.
No, but what I'm saying is, it only depends how long can they hold out.
No, and that's the thing, though, is that I hope that, I want to say in 5 years, it's in 5 years, they need to, you know, the Players Association needs to go to every, you know, school that has kids that are potentially thinking about leaving. They need to talk to these rookies, all these players in the NFL, and say, listen, you need to take away $20,000. You know, put this in the bank. Put this somewhere. Put this in a fund. Or whatever the case is.
First of all, you need to live according to the $20,000. That's some of their weekends.
No, I'm saying, I'm talking about at a time. I'm not talking about just $20,000. No, just in there, just let it. No, nah, it's like put $20,000 here, then put $20,000 here. So by the time it's a lockout, and then let them know, like, yo, during this time, you're going to have to scale back on what you do unless you have other avenues, because you're not the Tom Brady.
But then you're going to play into a factor of the guys is not looking to be there in 5 years. They don't care.
Oh, no, but no, and that's the thing. No, but that's the thing, though, is if the guys are not going to be there in 5 years, yo, do what you have to do. But that's why I said you want to go to schools, you want to go to these colleges, and, you know, get them, you know, in board, and you want to talk to these rookies, you want to talk to the players that are in this league. So in 5 years, you say, you know what, you guys are willing to, you know, let these game check goals, but you still have this money, and stay firm. Stay firm so you can get these guaranteed contracts. So you can get, well, almost guaranteed, whatever. So you can get more money. So you can get less, so he can have less power, so he can't do this nonsense anymore. Because all the time what happens with them, for instance, this, they end up caving.
Mm-hmm. Right, because they want to get back to their money.
Yeah. It's not the Brady's, the Drew
Brees. Oh, absolutely not.
It's the lesser players.
It's all my cousins. Be real. It would probably be. No, I wouldn't be like that. I'm very frugal. The flip side is, you know, me and my wife are a perfect team.
Yeah.
She likes to spend. I don't. But she makes me spend sometimes, because you have to, you know, see what you out there working for.
Well, no,
but
definitely.
I agree 100% with you that if the league, if the guys don't do nothing, and I think they're going
to
be doing something about it. At the end of the day, I think the big owners that's good friends with Kraft, it's like, yo, you got hosed.
Mm.
And if he do that to you, and y'all supposed to be boys, he'll do it to us.
No, and that's definitely what I'm just saying, is that the other players and the Players Association, you know, so the Players Association got to wake up and go talk to these players and let them know what's out there. Because if you don't, you're going to be finding yourself right back in the same situation, because the players ain't going to have no leg to stand on. Whatsoever.
Right, and let's get across the board. A lot of things need to be better. There need to be better guaranteed contracts. There need to be better plans or shapes for people that get injured, you know, say your third year in. okay, this is only your third year in NFL, but I've been going at this for 16, 17
yeah.
years of my life to make it here, and now you just cut me with nothing.
True.
That has to change.
True. No, definitely. There's things that's probably across the board that, you know, they have to, like, hit on.
Right.
And they got to take it away, and the best way to take it away is not playing, because then the owners are going to get scared, because then they're losing their money.
Well, I'm not liking that, not playing, though. So now you're going to force me to be watching more baseball. God forbid. I mean, and let's just be real. If the Red Sox, the Yankees, or somebody like the Mets or the Dodgers is not in it, I might glance at it, but I'm not really that.
No, oh, yeah, no, definitely, definitely, definitely. But, I mean, also, first, we have the NBA. We got the NBA playoffs going on. it just seems, though, it's like you see the Warriors and Steph Curry. And
they got a little sprained. They got a genie with them.
You got the sprained MCL, and then, you know, you got the sprained MCL. Then you're like, wow. At the, worst time, you know, Steph Curry's hurt. And then look at, like, oh, maybe the Clippers could, you know, push them to the brink. And lo and behold, for his Chris Paul breaks his finger.
Break a bone, his whole hand.
Yeah. Yeah, both of, yeah, that. And then you get the day later, you hear, is out for the playoffs.
Yep.
So it's just like, wow, it just opened. It just opened up. It's really wide open.
Yeah, here's the thing about it. I look at it like Sunday night, Monday morning, you had a lot of teams in the NBA like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, more or less the Clippers. Because this is the way I've seen it. Even worse, San Antonio wasn't too happy with the yes. Because, again, remember who took San Antonio out last year? The Clippers. I think the Clippers is the one matchup for San Antonio they just don't like.
Yeah.
I don't think that matchup is good. And two, I don't think that matchup is good for Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Just that Clippers matchup. You got a point guard you got to pay attention to. Then you got Blake Griffin that can go. So, you know, LeBron is the only defensive player on the team. Kyrie Irving a little bit, but again, if you match Kyrie Irving up with Chris Paul, LeBron and Blake Griffin, you still got DeAndre. That's just going to cause havoc, just pick and rolling. I'm just matched up. Then the next day, broken hand, he goes down. Hear the news, MCL, he might be out for 2 weeks. And, you know, he might be able to come back. Like,
yeah.
Right for the Western Conference Finals.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. Exactly. You thought, now you look at it, and the way that you look at Golden State, it's just like, man, they can play a series without him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can be a Blake Griffin and Chris Paulist Clippers team.
Well, that's if they get bad. That's if the team gets past Portland.
Yeah, right. And I still think they can still beat Portland without them. I think it'll go six, but I still think and hell, what are we rushing for? Go up two, you know what I'm saying? And what are we rushing for to get through this series for?
No, definitely.
You know, and then everybody's counting in San Antonio already. But they really have to play a hot OKC team.
You're talking about that series, Oklahoma City and San Antonio, and then you're talking about the Western Conference are going to be the two best played series throughout the playoffs.
Right. It is. Hands down. I can't wait to see that series. And In the East, I just don't see no team that's going to compete with Cleveland.
No.
At all.
And that's just how it is. And it's like LeBron and it's everybody else. There's no one there.
Right. Right.
That you and look it, and it, say. Because, I mean, Fritz, I look at a team like the, you see it's 2-2 with the Charlotte Hornets and the Miami Heat. But, Fritz, I mean, how do we count this 2-2, Fritz? I mean, it's a blowout, a blowout, a blowout, a blowout.
Right.
Like, what do you call that kind of series?
Yeah. I don't even know. I mean, to be honest, I was very disappointed with the last couple of games from Miami. They just looked like they didn't show up at all, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, typical like they've been all season on the road, you know, they just haven't been able to win on the road, you know. And in the playoffs, you got to at least win one on the road, you know. You got to have one on the road.
Yeah.
You know?
No, exactly. And Fritz, I have a problem, and I have an issue. Frank Vogel, what the hell is wrong with you? There's a couple times, Fritz, you ever notice during a game where you see a coach's flaw, and you're like, if he keep doing this, it's gonna come bite him in the ass.
Yep.
And that's what happened with Frank Vogel. You know, the Indiana Pacers are up. I think they're up 17. In the first quarter, Frank Vogel decides to take out Paul George. He, you know, he has the bench in there. And next thing I know, Fritz, the lead is down to 6.
Right.
I'm like, why the hell does it take him so long to put Paul George back in the game?
Or to call a timeout.
Then
you look in the fourth quarter, you wait until they tie it up. To call a timeout, you know.
Yes, and that's what happened. Fritz, it's just like, yo, you see it, you're like, yo, he's not gonna do it again, And what does he do, Fritz?
He does the same.
Bam. He does it again, and now look at him. They're assed out.
Because that was the game to win.
Yes, that was the game to win.
You had them on the heels,
mm-hmm.
And you technically got the best player on the court.
Yes, I mean, Fritz by a large margin.
Right.
You have the best player.
And what are you doing?
He coached that game like a regular season game, Fritz.
Yeah, he coached it worse than a regular season game. And
games matter. Fritz, you had a chance to go there, win that, and come back home and close it out.
Right. And that's what he's missing. And see, that's what happens when you don't have that much experience or, you don't have that killer instinct like you put your foot on their neck.
It's down to a standpoint where Monty Ellis or Paul George should be on the court at all times.
Absolutely. And that's what your team needs because you don't have a bench like some of the other teams have a bench. So one of those players have to be on the team because then when they're on the court, because then they're not, you lack that leadership. And
mm-hmm.
It's not a regular season game where you can, you know, try and get your team to understand what's going on. This is the playoffs. Either you want to go to the next level or you happy for just getting to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You want your guys to get a little experience? Just say that. But don't come in there acting like you want to win because you didn't coach like that. Not even close.
Exactly, Fritz. And that is my argument. And that's what I look at. And I'm looking at this team, and I'm just like, what the hell happened? And it's all on the coach.
Yeah.
It's all on the coach. It was a miss.
I'm looking at the game, and I'm watching it. And, I mean, they were stopping them. They went up by, like, 17 at one point.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my nephew's a big Drake fan, so he's a big Toronto fan. And, I mean, and he lets him know. And he asked me at the beginning of the playoffs, Uncle Frank, he says, what do you think about the playoffs? I said, there's only one team, if I was anybody, I wouldn't want to play. And I said, I don't even want to bring it up because I don't want you to think I'm picking on you. He said, cool. I said, if I was anybody, I wouldn't want to play Indiana with Paul George. I said, come on, Toronto's number two. They're not going to have a problem with it. I said, look, you got to remember, Paul George just coming back off an injury. Really, this is his first season off an injury. Last year he came back in midseason and did wonders. I said, then you got a team that's getting used to it. They caught a good stride in the second half of the season. I just went, Paul George is a superstar. Let's just be for real. And as I said, I would not want to play that team. And look what happened. But if that coaching was totally different, they'd be a juggernaut. If I was some people and they're not talking about Paul George, they said, oh, getting Kevin Durant, getting this. I would be trying to get Paul George, too.
That's a guy I would love. That's a guy I would love to have.
Oh, imagine him going to your team right now.
Fritz, only 26. I think he's only 25 right now. And I think that people forget to realize that he's only like 25. So, but yes, Fritz, I was seriously, before they blew it out, I was seriously considering, like, damn, could this be a team that you could see going to the Eastern Conference Finals? Because I'm not really, I don't look at a Miami team and say, oh, they're a strong. You look at all these teams for in the Eastern Conference, and it's not a strong team.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, like you said, there's not a team that's going to beat LeBron. I think it's just the Cavs and everybody else that's just bunched up together.
Right.
Everybody
right.
just bunched up together.
And then you look at the Cavs, and either they're playing around or they're not. I had an argument with somebody. They said, oh, they're just playing around. I said, no, they're not. They go through spells every game where they can't score.
Mm-hmm.
I said, they do it all season long, and it's not going to work when they're playing teams like San Antonio or teams like, you know, Golden State, because they don't struggle to score as much. They run a prolific offense, and that's how they handle it. You cannot struggle to score on wide open shots and things like that. Now you can struggle, and that's not against good defense. Look at this: the Pistons had them on their back, but the Pistons can't. Pistons was the Pistons. This is be for real. But the Pistons had them on their back a few games. And it wasn't not like – I did not look at the game and was like, wow, do you see them play? I didn't look at any game with them and say, wow, do you see how they run their offense? It's the LeBron James isolation. It's that's old school. And let me tell you, when the third quarter comes in, we got to – everybody has your number at that point. You're not going to be getting that. The defense steps up. They're coming out and – good, okay. We'll let you score. We'll let you shoot your jump shot. Nobody else is getting involved. And people got that from Pop.
Yep.
And that's the recipe.
Yeah. But, you know, like, as far as in just like, like we look at, I alluded to the Charlotte and Pete series. And the same goes for the Boston and Atlanta series. It's, can somebody win? Somebody got to win on the road, or is Atlanta going to win all their home games?
Well, not taking anything away, because you know we talked about Boston before, and kudos to the coach. Not taking anything away from the players, but they're in that position right now because of great coaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great coaching. And Atlanta should be, I don't know, they should be kind of ashamed of themselves, because you just can never create an identity. You go from last year being number one in the Eastern, you know, and couldn't even step up against Cleveland. Then you come in here and you got a kind of a fresh young rookie team with Boston, and you can't close the door.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's just like, if that doesn't tell you how to do something different, I don't know what else.
I look at it and I'm just like, I mean, they made adjustments, and I give them credit. They made adjustments, you know, yesterday. You know, they looked at it and said, you know, Isaiah Thomas is not going to beat us. You know, we're gonna double him, and it's like you said, it's kind of disrespectful to whoever they were guarding. You know, whoever that second defender supposed to be guarding because he's leaving you wide open. And but I also look at it, and there was a lot of people that were saying they want to give, you know, Al Horford maybe the max. And I'm looking, and I'm just like, he doesn't scream a max player to me. He, there's nothing about him that says, yo, let's give Al Horford $20-plus million dollars. Because he can disappear in the playoffs. He can disappear for, you know, 4 minutes and periods of time. And I don't know if that's a guy that I would want to have on my team.
Oh, sorry. I hit the mute button by mistake. And you got Horford, you know, he come on. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. Then Millsap comes on the team. He's doing what Horford's supposed to be doing for years, you know. So I really don't get it. And I think that's the last year they are going to be together.
Mm-hmm.
Something just needs to happen different. Or unless you're going to be happy with getting to where you're getting to, and that's it.
Prison love, but that's been Atlanta's – that's been Atlanta since, I want to say, 2008. When they
that's been Atlanta.
The Celtics.
That's been Atlanta since. Dominique.
I mean, it's just been a bunch of – I mean, well, at least at that period of time, I mean, you put a Dominique on in this NBA, I think that's enough – I think that's enough to get through on this NBA. But just talking about back then, when you have teams that had, you know, 3-4, you know, top-tier type of players, and you actually had good benches and things like that. So, but definitely, Biffers, I see what you're saying. Like, this may be a time where you look at it, and it's time to sit back and look and say, are we okay with just being a team, just being there, or do we want to blow this up so we can become contenders?
Right, right.
Be,
and that's what,
you know,
and I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about the organization.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's the players and all that too. It's just like, what do we need to do to, for us to get a star here? You know, a top level talent. Something here that we can hang our hat on and we can say, okay, we can compete with those Spurs, the Warriors, the Cavs, whoever. But this is going to be the Hawks. They may hit lightning in the bottle like they did last year, and that's going to be the best they can do. Win 60-plus games and then get swept in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right. Right, and that's exactly what I was saying. Not saying that Dominique Wilkins was that type of player, but the Atlanta's organization,
mm-hmm.
that type of organization that's just happy with making the playoffs, you know. And when you get someone like a Dominique Wilkins and you never put a group of people around them, shame on you. Just
mm-hmm.
really shame on you. And that's what's going on right now with that's what's going on right now with their team. It's not like they have a Dominique Wilkins, but they're just happy with making the playoffs. And that's
yeah.
just all that's all that matters. It's not nothing else. There's no key trades. There's not like, okay, we even looking at getting like a Paul George like we were just talking about and mixing it in with that because you pick up a Millsap. Nothing against Millsap, but that's not the guy that was gonna get you to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
You
exactly.
Know? So, you know, when you're looking at that and you're looking at the East, it's really no teams. And the only team I did say, you know, I picked them, and that's prior to injury, was Miami. And if Chris Bosh, I mean, and at this point, what are they going to do? They're just going to have to release him. This is the second year in a row.
Yeah, friends, and that's exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So what you do, you're holding up the organization from making a move because they're thinking you're going to be there. And I mean, think if they would have traded him and got somebody for him. I mean, even look at trading him, giving him away, and then picking up somebody that would have been in that position, you know?
No, it's definitely. I mean, that, you know, a Chris Bosh, you're talking about a front line of, you know, Dang, Bosh, and Whiteside.
Right.
To go with Wade and Dragic as far as the starting five. And that's definitely a formidable team that could, you know, give the Heat, I mean, give the Cavs some trouble.
Right. And that's why I picked them. And that was before Whiteside had emerged like he did.
Yeah, but now you see it, and you're just like, there's nothing there with the Cavs. But, you know, also, friends, you know, you have the things when you want to talk about the you have the Rockets. You know, Dwight Howard's leaving.
C4.
You know, he's going in the, and he's not going on the team bus, and you know, there's reports that he's gone after this year and things like that. And it just like, and also too, for his, you know, you have the, you know, the questions about the Clippers. And just like you said about, like, when you're talking about Atlanta, huh?
C4.
C4. You know, yeah. And it's crazy to think that both of these teams were on the verge of going to the Western Conference Finals. One is, you know, one day, and one was going to verge. And the collapse that the Clippers had last year.
Right.
And then now this year, it just looks like a team that is just, you know, it may be time for you to, just like you said, Flo, it may be time to blow it up or at least entertain something. At least, you know, see what you can get for Blake Griffin. I don't know for Z.
And that's what it is, too. It's like, okay, a long season, 82 games, plus a lot of BS that we go through throughout the season. Then go through it, have to do the same thing the next year with the same BS. I mean, Blake Griffin was hurt all year. This quad thing is not going away. It has to be something more as you come back 6 games and you re-aggravate the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You lose out the whole half of the year. So, I mean, take the core players that you have, which is not bad, and then it makes me crazy, man. And the things about it is do it while you can before they realize there's something wrong with this player and you can't get nothing for them.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Because it's going to be hard for them at this point to try and get rid of Blake Griffin.
No.
But you know, because it's like it's going to be hard for them to get rid of a Chris Bosh. Nobody's going to want that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're dealing with, and you got to take the time and be like, we're going to be eating some of this money.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I just think that some organizations got to look at and saying, like, the Clippers was always that team that was missing that wing player.
Right.
He was always missing that wing player. Maybe it's time to dangle a Blake Griffin and see if you can get a wing player. Maybe you can, you know, maybe you can dangle Blake and try to get rid of, you know, and friends, look what they did this year without him.
Right.
You know, maybe it's time for you to dangle him and see if a team like Chicago will bite. Give us Jimmy Butler.
They're not gonna be that though.
I'm just throwing
I know.
And that would be definitely a player that a Clippers could use, and maybe he could be a player that could help the Clippers take them over top, because he is a wing player that they don't have that can defend multiple positions.
Right. Definitely a player that's out there that I would think about. You know, I mean, it's just, if you go team to team, it's just a lot that you can possibly want to entertain.
Mm-hmm.
But they, at the end of the day, they need to see what they can get with the option. Me as a Cowboys fan, they always wait to the last minute to get rid of a player. Lakers fan, they always wait to last. Andrew Bynum to me stayed on the team too long, where his value went down. You couldn't get anything from him. The year before that, you know, the year after they won that championship, you could have let him go, and you could have got what you wanted for him, and still been a viable team.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to at one point know when to let somebody go, and a lot of times teams don't. And this Chris Bosh thing is going to kill them, because now signed him a couple of years ago to big money. Who's going to pick up their contract?
Yeah,
after last year, after he was cleared, I would have traded him.
Nah, definitely, yeah. No, that's definitely, yeah. I don't know. I don't think anyone touches that. You know, it is going to be a lot of medical involved, and I just think that they find themselves in a predicament where they got 3 years left on a contract, and hopefully his health does prevail too, because when you're talking about a blood clot issue, that's something that's definitely serious.
Right.
But also, you know, you got news on the Lakers let go Byron Scott. And
we talked about that beforehand, and I just don't know what they're still doing at this point, and that's not the problem. And so now we're playing three coaches, and we're going to be playing four coaches.
First, my whole thing, though, is not even just with Byron Scott. It's more so is, why the hell did you wait so long? Why did you wait so long? When you had a Thibodeau out there, you had a Scott Brooks out there.
Right. Right. At the end of the day, right. So now who are you going to get?
I mean, honestly, like I think that we have to, you know, you gotta kind of look at things and like, you got to take a step back. But let's be clear. How much credit do you give a Luke Walton?
Well, like I said, it's two things that I give. It's one thing that I give Luke. It's because he didn't let his ego get into the way.
No, definitely.
You know, he didn't try to overcoat something that didn't need to be overcoat. So,
yeah.
To me, I gave him that's what was more important to me. He has a strong basketball IQ. I've always heard that from – that's why he stayed so long with the Lakers and with Phil Jackson, because his basketball IQ and practice and working with the new people that come into the system – it's just high. So he does have a great basketball IQ, and you just got to look at it. They gave Steve Kerr a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, don't forget who set that team up, you know. So you got a Jerry West to set the team up, you know. They played with each other for a long time, and you took somebody like a Steve Kerr to come in and help them give over the hump that Mark
mm-hmm.
Jackson couldn't help them get over. So
no.
You know, that's why I said at the beginning, it's not a coach. You need somebody to come in and build another team.
No, no, and this is where I lose the Laker fans. It's when it's going bad, get Jim Buss out of here. But the last time I checked, Frizz, is Mitch Kupchak is still GM?
Yeah, well, I'm talking to both of them together.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, though, all I hear is just Jim Buss this, Jim Buss that. And I'm like, I mean, is Mitch Kupchak not there anymore?
Yeah, but Jim Buss is actually pulling more of the punches than everybody.
I understand the phrase, but I'm just saying, though, is that.
Okay,
I mean,
let's take it as this. Okay, if Mitch Kupchak is still there, then why the hell is he and you're going through four coaches?
Yeah, I'm prison. I listen, and that's. I don't know if this is the championship or whatever the case is, but all I'm saying, though, is that I see the love for Mitch Cup, you know, for him. I see the love for him, but when it's all bad, I see the love for him, but when it's bad, I see the hate for Buck. And I'm just like, where's the difference of opinion? Like, why can't we be consistent? If he's doing bad, let's get on him. You know, if he's doing good, give him the props. I mean, I just don't think that it's all just Jim Buss and that's it.
No, it's a combination of both of them. I said the head. That goes with nine times out of ten, if you get rid of the person in charge, the GM's going to. Somebody's going to bring a total different GM in. Unless you are that anal of an owner or president that you just did not let the GM do his job. So somebody else gonna allow you as a good GM. That's like a Jerry West that's GMing, and you got a Jerry Jones that just won't let him do his job like he's supposed to. So Jerry West, Jerry Jones steps down. Somebody else takes over as president. Of course you're not going to get rid of somebody like Jerry West. You're going to allow him to do what he does. So that's about the only reason I would say to keep Mitch Kupchak. So when I'm talking about the head, I'm talking about both of them. Everybody up top that keep allowing this to go on, and all you're doing is keep firing coaches, and they don't get on the field and play. You know, at one point, if I was him, I would even resign.
Fritz, I honestly, Fritz, I think that it's time to, Fritz, I think it's time for you to set a guideline. I think it's time to set a guideline, Fritz. I think it's time to set a plan and say, we have this guy. We know what kind of roster it is.
Mm-hmm.
I when I seen the Byron Scott hire, I just looked at it as a lame duck signing. Like, what is he gonna do? You know, I just look at the talent that's on the team. It's like he's gonna be gone, and it's just a waste of time. So I think
right.
It's all time for you to stop wasting time and finally get a head coach. Give him security, and then start building there. Because once he know that you have his back, there you go. And that's the same with me. I mean, if you want, I mean, I want to, you know, talk about, but you have the Celtics. They gave, as soon as Brad Stevens was there, they didn't give him a 3-year deal. They gave him a 6-year contract. And they said, you know what, this is your team, and we believe in you, and you know, and you, and we're 100% behind you. And that's what the Lakers need to do. So Coach is not worried about. I don't know what, but the thing about it is it's about who they get, you know, get as a coach. And I mean, and that's a part of the, you know, the process is failing. If you knew you was getting rid of Scott, you should have been got rid of him. Because now you lost two coaches that were on the market. You already lost. You know, you already lost from that.
Right, right.
So, you know, it's more about your thinking time. Okay, the Kobe thing is gone. Now it's time for you guys to move into that next era.
Right.
Now all that, you know, that fanfare and everything, that's gone. Now it's time for you guys to move on because who's drawing people to watch this team play?
Right. Who's realize what era you're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you keep selling the wrong thing. You know, you keep like your daddy was a mastermind, and in his era, all he had to do was sell the light.
Mm-hmm.
Now you dork, you in a computer age, everything. You got to sell more than that.
Yeah. You got to sell wins. You got to win. You got to put a product on that court that want, you know, somebody gonna want to come to you and say, okay, I can win here.
Right.
And you know, you like you said, for like the lights, the glamour, the, you know, wanting to be in LA is not a lure as it once was. Because like I said, for everything is accessible now.
Right.
But it frees into other things, as we talked about last week. As we talked about last week, friends, Josh Norman got cut. Well, he got the franchise tag pulled away from him, and now Prince, he's in your division.
Don't matter. We ain't scared of him. We ain't scared of him. We healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard him today. He's talking. I like him. And you know, the first thing I said was Jerry Jones pick up the phone. But I like the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I heard him talk about it. He was like, you know what? It's the business. I thought about it. I got down for a second. He said I had to put my big boy pants on. I understand this is a business.
Oh, Frizz, exactly. It's definitely a business. And that's how you got to approach it. You can't approach it, any other
rapper.
Kind of way. You can't have these kind of feelings that this and that. You got to approach it because Frizz, he's coming from a small school. He wasn't a highly, speaking of a draft, he wasn't highly drafted. He wasn't a first round, second round pick. So in this kind of angle, Frizz, we already talked about earlier the money's not guaranteed. So he got to get what he can get.
Right, immediately. First and foremost.
He
got to
give.
Because let's be real. They're saying, what kind of team? Y'all going to be back in the Super Bowl? Let's say next year Cam get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Next year Josh pulled his Achilles. And he just played for like a minimum of like $4 million. He just lost $16 million.
Plus, so now he definitely has, that guarantee and that money you're talking about like 50-something million, I think he's getting his first 3 years.
Right.
So that's definitely kudos to him. It's a big signing. We'll see how he fares in a different, defense, and hopefully they play to his strengths. But I think that the Redskins definitely defense have gotten stronger.
Oh, absolutely.
Their defense, has gotten a lot stronger. Breland came on these last couple of years. Now you have the combo of them two, and that's a great addition right before the draft. And speaking of the draft,
it's boring.
You guys.
Do we have to really talk about it?
What you mean?
I feel like we're forcing ourselves to talk about it just because it's happening tomorrow. And, and really, like, none of those guys are going to be any type of superstar, at least in the next 2 to 3 years.
I was just going to ask you about, the quarterbacks aren't going to be there. But what about Elliott from Ohio State?
It depends. I think I just think he's a freak. And whoever picks him up, I think they picked up a good person.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everybody on this whole scare about running backs and all this other stuff. The league doesn't need running backs. No, you need that type of running back that's going to run and come out the backfield. That's the type of running back that you need.
Mm-hmm.
So,
would you take him fourth?
Absolutely. If I was Jerry Jones' son, I'd be pulling him fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I'm approaching my defense. But I still think, you look at Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the reason why the draft is kind of interesting is because the league is just dismantled by bad quarterbacks. We just thirsty for quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, 6-7 years ago, these guys wouldn't even think about thinking about being the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But because the quarterback play, not the play, but the quarterbacks and even injuries over the last 3-4 seasons out of quarterbacks, everybody's like, hey, we need a backup.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be for real. Not last season, the season before last, you had Arizona in there with their third to fourth string quarterback going into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why this has been kind of interesting is because, you know, teams need quarterbacks so heavy. Besides that, nobody's interested in it. I mean, they even forced the league is even like keep it down. So I think they told ESPN to keep it down so the suspense can go on. There's no suspense. Not this time. You've seen all the moves they made. Everybody showed their cards. You know, Rams is picking golf first. So I mean, everybody showed their cards. It's like yo, it's like poker, and I got ace.
And I mean, I think someone said that the, like, you can probably miss the first 30 minutes of the draft because the first two picks, you already know what it is. The draft really starts with the Chargers.
Right.
That's where it really starts at. You know, the suspense is really as far as, you know, it's gone. But
It's a tradition, and I get here.
No, definitely, but honestly, first, I mean, I agree. I mean, you look at the moves, you would think that with McFadden and also them signing Morris, but they both have question marks. If you have a stud like Elliott, who kind of like has a little Emmitt Smith in him.
Exactly. And a little girly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you definitely, if he's there, if you feel like he's a talent, then.
And I mean, and at this type of it, I mean, you already got the two running backs, okay? I mean, if he's, the difference is, too, is when you talk to him, it's like, look, you can, the job is still open, but what you will want to do is learn longevity from some of these players. Learn how to run in between tackles. Learn the gist of it because he's a quick – from what they say, he picks up very, very fast. So why not introduce him? Why not let him go through, you know, with this team, with this big offensive line, you know, share the touches so you don't get beat up the first year? Because, I mean, come on. Let's be for real, dude. You got about – if you're 21, you got 9 years.
Yep.
You better play smart. You got about 9 years, and if you ain't carrying the ball all those times, you probably got 11. So we on the team for 2 years. Let's share this thing, get a Super Bowl ring, and we looking to bow out of here. Then you can take over from there, and that's technically where your 9 years could start. But
no,
you
want,
you know, so I mean, if you ask me, I would pick him. I just
mm-hmm.
would. It was almost like, you know, he's almost like an Edgerrin James type out of the backfield, can catch, you know, cause problems. And that's what Dallas needs. That Dallas needs that type of player and have him take Dunbar's place.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I look at Dallas, and if you feel like a running back is – and also, too, though, Frizz, is when you look at this draft as far as in just, like, talent, you know, and top – kid talent, it's not a draft that you need. You're gonna find that. Maybe we'll see. I mean, because people are always wrong. This is rolling the dice. This is gambling. You don't know. There's people that say surefire. You know this that, and he could be out the league in 2-3 years.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you never know.
Exactly.
You know, that's why you know, you hope that your teams have strong scouts.
And you play to win now.
Yeah.
You play to win
yeah.
this thing now. It's not no
yeah.
next year. You know, and to me, if why were you building up this big offensive line not to focus on the run?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, when did Tony Romo have his best year? We all were running the ball, okay? So, I mean, if not by one person, run by committee, and you got this young stud. Run him into the ground. I don't know what else to tell you guys. We're trying to win now. We got maybe a 2.5-year window on this Tony Romo situation, and if you're not going quarterback, you need to make sure you didn't go wide receiver, so you still got Terrence Williams and the other bum white boy on the other side. And to me, they proved last year that's Cole Beasley, that's just not a core of receivers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, get somebody out the backfield that can catch a 5-yard pass and turn it into 15 yards.
Definitely. It's definitely intriguing, and, you know, we'll definitely see, you know, the process and everything that's going to go on. And also the BS rumors that are out there. And I mean, we're going to Sunday, we may talk more, you know, how we feel, or we made a bonehead decision, or we're going to joke about that team that, you know, he got who?
Right.
And who?
That's what it's going to be about. That's going to be the topic of the show of the hour. He got who?
Definitely.
Yeah. So that's another real sports show. Frizz and Rick tuning in to us. Thanks, guys. We out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, Black, it's time.
Word
is coming. It's time, man.
Alright, begin.
Yeah, straight out the fucking dungeons of rap, where fake niggas don't make it back. I don't know how to start this. Rappers, I'm monkey flipping with the funky rhythm. I be kicking, musician, inflicting composition of pain. I'm like Scarface, sniffing cocaine, holding an M16. See with the pen, I'm extreme. Now, bullet holes left in my peepholes. I'm suited up with street clothes. Hand me a 9 and out to beat those. Y'all know my CeeLo, with or without the airplay. I keep some E and J, sitting bent up in the stairway. Or either on the corner, betting grants with the CeeLo champs. Laughing at bass heads, trying to sell some broken amps. G-Pass, get off quick forever. My niggas talk shit, reminiscing about the last time the task force flipped. Niggas be running through the block shooting. Time to start the revolution, catch a body head for Houston. Once they caught us off guard, the Mac-10 was in the grass. And I ran like a cheetah with force of an assassin. Picked the Mac up, your brother's back up, the Mac spit. Lead was hitting niggas, one ran, I made a Mac flip. Heard a few chicks scream, my arm shook, couldn't look. Gave another squeeze, heard it click. Yo, my shit is stuck, tried to cock it, it wouldn't shoot, now I'm in danger. Finally pulled it back and saw 3 bullets caught up in the chamber. So now I'm jetting to the building lobby, and it was full of children, probably couldn't see as high as I be. It's like the game ain't the same. Got younger niggas pulling the triggers, bringing fame to their name and claim some corners. Crews without guns and corners. In broad daylight, stick up kids, they run up on us. 4-5s and gauges, max and fat. Same niggas that catch you back to back, catching your cracks in black. Yo, is a snitch on the block, getting niggas knocked. So hold your staff to the coke price rock. I know this crackhead who said she got a smoke nice rock. And if it's good, you bring your customers a measuring block. But yo, you got a slot on a vacation. Inside information keeps large niggas erasing and they rhymes basing. It drops deep as it does in my breath. I never sleep, cause sleep is the cousin of death. Beyond the walls of intelligence, life is defined. I think of crime when I'm in a New York state of mind. State of mind.
Your state of mind.
That I'm a gangster, drinking Moet, Poland, Texas, making.